Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, well, off we go. Brian Bauer with you for the next 2 hours or so, bringing you up until Red Sox pregame with Will Fleming as the Sox look to sweep the Padres, baby. Have you given up hope on your Red Sox? I certainly have. But nonetheless, they will play again today against the Padres. The number, if you want to hop on board, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. All right, so this Andrew Luck thing, man, that came out of nowhere last night. Andrew Luck, all of a sudden, you're watching the Miami and Florida game. I was actually watching the Red Sox and the Padres, both games at the same time, and having dinner with a couple of my brothers, whatnot, and then all of a sudden, one of my buddies that's with us as well says, hey, Andrew Luck's retiring. We should bet the under on the Colts. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then all of a sudden, breaking news on ESPN. It was wild. And really, what happened after that in the next couple of hours, what transpired was Doug Gottlieb became like the main storyline in the Andrew Luck retirement. Andrew Luck is announcing that he's retiring from the NFL. It's a massive story. And somehow Doug Gottlieb becomes like the secondary story of this whole situation with Andrew Luck. So, of course, earlier today, Wiggy and Bradfo had Doug Gottlieb on. And I would say this to Doug Gottlieb. I hope that he prepares a lot more for his show tomorrow on Fox Sports Radio if he's going to defend this tweet, because I don't really know what he said in that interview. Bradford and Wiggy were asking him questions about it. He didn't really have a defense of why he tweeted this. Like, he was just kind of talking in circles. I didn't really understand his defense of what he was saying. But if you haven't seen the tweet, this is what he put out there. Quote, retiring because rehabbing is too hard is the most millennial thing ever. Retiring because rehabbing is too hard is the most millennial thing ever. That's what Doug Gottlieb put on Twitter last night. So essentially saying this is like a millennial issue with Andrew Luck. So apparently this is how I look at it, is he just wanted to take shots at millennials and he just picked the wrong guy and he picked the wrong situation to do so. And part of this too is Doug Gottlieb wanted to become a story, right? He wanted his tweet to be a big time story. He knew that this was going to be a polarizing tweet, that he was going to create a lot of attention from this tweet. So that's what he put out there. So part of it is building his own brand. So the perception of the tweet comes across just so poorly, because the way that I perceived it is essentially that he was calling Andrew Luck, it seems like to me, soft. That's how it felt to me, that he was calling Andrew Luck soft, and he couldn't really pick a worse target than Andrew Luck. And oh, by the way, like, as it pertains to Andrew Luck, the individual, he's like the opposite of a millennial. Even though technically he is a millennial, he doesn't have that millennial stereotype, if you will. This guy had a flip phone until like last year. And actually, I believe he still has a flip phone. So he's got a flip phone. This is the guy that you're basically accusing of being like the definition of millennials, or whatever the case may be, whatever the point Doug Gottlieb was trying to make. And then the other thing is, remember at the beginning of his career was the whole thing about Andrew Luck wasn't going to do a lot of endorsements. Now, he had like certain companies at first, but it was like Quaker Oats oatmeal, whatever the case was. And RG3 was doing Subway and Nissan and all the big brands, and Andrew Luck had like two endorsements. That was it. So this is like the wrong guy. Like, if you look at it for what Doug Gottlieb did, in that tweet was more millennial than Andrew Luck being up there at the podium last night announcing that he's retiring from football because his body can't take it anymore. Like, what Doug Gottlieb did is he used social media, he used Twitter as an avenue to try to build his own brand, right? To bring more attention to himself. So that's a more millennial action than what Andrew Luck did being up there on the podium. That was just, he picked the wrong target. It just made no sense to me whatsoever. Luck is not the guy that you say, oh yeah, this is the most millennial thing ever. Come on, man. Like, that was just a stupid tweet. I understand like having a take about stuff and sometimes you may have a wild take, but from my perspective, what Doug Gottlieb did in that tweet, that was just a dumb take. There's no really defending Doug Gottlieb's tweets. Now, a couple of things that I want to get into with this Andrew Luck situation. So now that he has decided to retire, and we'll see if he ever wants to come back, you had Jim Irsay saying this morning that he could see it happening. And the way Andrew Luck was talking yesterday, it seems like a guy, like, it's the opposite of Gronk. You see Gronk putting out all these things all the time, like, oh, I could come back. Remember the whole thing with Drew Brees at the ESPYs? And you had him doing an interview with Rich Eisen that he alluded to the fact that, oh, maybe in September he'll get that itch. Andrew Luck last night, it just looked like he was a broken man. Like, he did not want to come back anymore from all the injuries he's dealing with. Not to mention the fact, like, this calf ankle injury, we don't even really know what it was. We still don't know what that calf ankle injury was. Remember, they were not playing Jacoby Brissett in that third preseason game because of the fact that they may need to start him in week one of the season because they didn't know if Andrew Luck was going to be available or not. So we don't even know, quite frankly, what was going on with that injury in particular. But now when you look at it in terms of what this means and Andrew Luck retiring from the sport, we can get into the Patriots angle because now you can take another team off the threat to the Patriots, if you will. And I don't know how serious of a threat the Colts were, but now without Andrew Luck, they're not a threat to the Patriots whatsoever in terms of the Patriots getting to another Super Bowl. But with Luck, it feels like to me that this was a massively underwhelming career, that Andrew Luck's career was underwhelming. And I get a lot of it has to do with injuries. But remember, when Andrew Luck was coming out of Stanford, he was portrayed as the best quarterback prospect since John Elway. Not making that up. That was the deal. He's the best quarterback prospect since John Elway. And what did the Colts do in Andrew Luck's career? They made it to one AFC championship game. One. That's it. One AFC championship game. We all remember it well because the Patriots absolutely thumped them 45-7, and that spurned the whole Deflategate thing. That's a story for another day. But nonetheless, that's the only time he ever played in an AFC championship game. You look at what the Colts did. First of all, there is the part of this where the Colts failed the player. You think about Jim Irsay, the owner of that team. What a dummy he is, right? I mean, this guy calling up Quentin Nelson, hey, what's up, Quentin, like after he gets drafted. But think about it. He fires Bill Polian, a Hall of Fame executive in the NFL. Bill Polian, somebody that I understand, like, his last couple of years there in Indianapolis wasn't as good as the beginning of his tenure there in Indianapolis. But nonetheless, if you're going to fire Bill Polian, you better have a guy in mind that's going to be able to do the job better than the Hall of Famer. So you bring in Ryan Grigson, who was just an idiot. That guy had no idea what he was doing whatsoever. Remember, Ryan Grigson traded away a first-round pick for Trent Richardson after we had already seen Trent Richardson not playing at a high level with the Cleveland Browns. He gave up a first-round draft pick to trade for a running back, okay? And then you look at 2014, Andrew Luck is just getting absolutely clobbered, right? Part of the issue with the Colts was their offensive line early on in Andrew Luck's career. So in 2015, he already has T.Y. Hilton, a deep threat wide receiver, and he drafts Philip Dorsett in the first round. Made no sense whatsoever. Of course, we're familiar with Philip Dorsett here, and he played well the other night. But getting back to the original point, Philip Dorsett, that was like, if you're going to draft him, that's an accessory. And the Colts had massive issues on their offensive line, and they didn't do anything to upgrade the offensive line when Ryan Grigson was running the team. He kept screwing up. So that's part of it, is the team failed Andrew Luck. The ownership with Jim Irsay, he certainly did. And if you look at Ryan Grigson, he certainly screwed things up because he had no idea what he was doing whatsoever. Like, just keep Bill Polian around if you're going to bring in a guy like Ryan Grigson. Jim Irsay thought he was going to find the next big general manager or whatever the case may be in the NFL, and he was going to lead them into this next generation of Colts football. He couldn't have been more wrong. It's sad now because if you look at it, the Colts now are run very, very well. They bring in Chris Ballard, who's done an outstanding job there. He drafted essentially two all pros last year. If you look at it, Darius Leonard on that defense, and then from an offensive perspective, Quentin Nelson was an all pro. So he drafted two all pros last year. So finally, the Colts have somebody intelligent running their front office again, and look at what's going on right now. You have the quarterback now deciding to retire because there's been so much damage that's gone into Andrew Luck's career with injuries and whatnot. So when you finally get somebody in there that knows how to run things, and you get a good coach in there in Frank Reich, who has this nice offensive system, he comes over from Doug Peterson off that coaching tree, good play caller, and they made life a lot easier for Andrew Luck last year because there were layups in the offense, right, where he's dumping the ball off to running backs, short passes to receivers that made it more advantageous to Andrew Luck and made it life easier. But right when you get all these guys in, you feel like as an organization, you're turning things around, and then Andrew Luck now decides abruptly, I guess is the way we would put it, abruptly decides to retire last night after going through all these injuries. But I think we also have to look at the player too. If you look at the player, Andrew Luck deserves a lot of the blame for his career being underwhelming. So I understand that some of the injuries are because he wasn't protected and whatnot. And the fact that if you look at how the team handled his initial shoulder injury, not good. 2015, he injures the shoulder, plays through the torn labrum, and then they find out in 2016 he actually needs surgery. So the team handled that poorly, awful. But Andrew Luck himself put himself in bad positions over and over again as an NFL quarterback. There's actually an inside the NFL little mic'd up session, if you will, of Andrew Luck, and he actually literally says, I don't feel like I'm in the game until I get hit. Like, he enjoyed getting hit. And Andrew Luck, throughout his NFL career, and I get it, there was a time where he wasn't protected well in terms of the offensive line, but he also didn't protect himself. Okay, Andrew Luck was trying to run over linebackers earlier in his career, run over defensive ends. He was taking on hits. He was doing damage to his own body, right? That's why we look at Brady, and he rarely gets hit, right? And when he gets hit, he knows how to protect himself. Andrew Luck was seeking out contact throughout his NFL career. So part of the reason that Andrew Luck continually got hurt was himself. He was not careful. He was not careful. He took too many damn hits. And that's on Andrew Luck. That's on the player. And another thing that I would point out, with all the injuries that Andrew Luck has had throughout his NFL career, how about the fact that one of the reasons it took him so long to come back from that shoulder injury was his own damn fault? So he has surgery to repair a torn labrum in 2016. And then Andrew Luck injures his shoulder again because he's snowboarding and he sprains an AC joint in his shoulder. So the player put himself in harm's way. And I get you could say, well, he's snowboarding. Everybody wants to have fun. Yeah, but you're not supposed to do that when you're an NFL quarterback, right? You're not supposed to put your body in harm's way. In fact, certain guys in certain sports have things in their contracts where they can't do stuff like that. Remember Jay Williams years ago with the Chicago Bulls? It was in his contract that he wasn't supposed to be driving a motorcycle. So the franchise quarterback, after just having shoulder surgery, is out there snowboarding and he injures his shoulder. So Andrew Luck himself has to shoulder, no pun intended there, has to shoulder some of the blame for what went on in terms of him not having the career that everybody thought he was going to have. He only played 7 years, and he missed games in those 7 years because if you look at it, 2017, that year doesn't count at all because he missed the entire season. But constantly this guy was banged up. Constantly this guy was hurt. And I look at it in terms of the totality of that Colts organization. What an absolute joke it is that you had Peyton Manning for 13 years. You had Andrew Luck for whatever it is, 7 years, I guess, like 7 years of actually playing football. You had him in the organization for like, what, 8 years? He was drafted in 2012. So you had him in that organization for that long. You had Peyton Manning. You basically almost had 20 years of number one overall picks in terms of the quarterback. And there was no question with either guy, right? If you look at Peyton Manning, everybody knew coming out of college. I guess you can go back to the whole thing with Ryan Leaf. Is Ryan Leaf going to be the guy or Peyton Manning? But everybody thought for the most part that Peyton Manning was going to be this slam dunk Hall of Fame quarterback right when he came into the NFL. Same thing with Andrew Luck. Everybody thought that Andrew Luck was going to be this unbelievable quarterback and eventually he was going to take over the league. The reality of the situation is the Colts as an organization, they have one Super Bowl. They have one Super Bowl with those two guys, and they only played in two. Peyton Manning went to another one, remember, in 09 when they famously lost to the New Orleans Saints when Sean Payton came out of halftime with the onside kick. But this is an epic failure for the organization. And the thing that just has to piss you off as a Colts fan is you finally look like you're getting it right. Finally, you have Frank Reich in there who looks to have an idea of what he's doing. Unlike Chuck Pagano, it looked like he had no idea what he was doing. And then, of course, you had Bruce Arians in there. Bruce Arians gets Coach of the Year, and then he basically uses that. He's filling in for Chuck Pagano when he's sick. Bruce Arians goes to Arizona, leads them to an NFC Championship game. So you had a good coach in the building, but he went away to Arizona, right? So finally, after dealing with Chuck Pagano, after dealing with Ryan Grigson, you actually have good football people in the building now as it pertains to Chris Ballard, the guy running the team, drafting like crazy. The guy's been exceptional with his draft picks. I told you, two all pros last year in the draft. That's pretty remarkable. And then you look at the fact that they have a guy that came off Doug Peterson's coaching tree tied to Andy Reid and whatnot. You bring him in there, and this guy's a good play caller, and he's actually making life easier for Andrew Luck to the point where he's actually healthy. He's actually playing healthy. He's staying healthy. He's staying on the football field last year because he's got these easy passes. And then you look at it now, and Andrew Luck's not going to be there anymore because Andrew Luck has decided last night that he's going to retire. I wonder from the teammates' perspective how Andrew Luck's teammates, now they're all going to say publicly that they support him and whatnot, but if you were a teammate of Andrew Luck, like you can understand he had a shoulder procedure. So he had all these injuries, and now he's dealing with this ankle, foot thing, quite frankly, calf thing, whatever the case may be. We really don't know what that injury is. So he's dealing with another injury at this point in time. So the players can look at it and say, okay, we understand where Andrew's coming from. We know he's been working hard to try to get back there on the football field. But if you're somebody that is a member of this team, if you're Quentin Nelson, who protected Andrew Luck last year, if you're Darius Leonard, that was an all-pro, if you're T.Y. Hilton, who has emerged as top 10-ish wide receiver in the NFL, a really good player. Eric Ebron came over from Detroit, actually got his career on track, right? So you have all these guys. I wonder how they're feeling today, because you went from feeling like, all right, we get an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. They were the favorites to win their division. They were the team that beat the Texans, who won the division a year ago in the postseason. So this is a team that was favored to win its division. And you look at it, they were probably one of the three teams maybe you would have been concerned about from a Patriots perspective. If you're concerned about the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Colts probably on that list of teams that you thought could possibly beat the Patriots in a postseason game. And I get that Bill Belichick has owned Andrew Luck throughout his career. But nonetheless, the Colts had things going in the right direction. So if you're a member of that team, you went from last night, or really yesterday, believing that you had an opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl this year. You were going to have a chance to win a Super Bowl, and now that's all out the window. And I understand that Jacoby Brissett is, in terms of backup quarterbacks, one of the better guys in the league in that particular scenario, but in terms of having that franchise guy, he's not that. He's not a franchise caliber quarterback, and that's what you had with Andrew Luck. When you have that guy in the building, right, when you have Brees, when you have Brady, when you have Mahomes, when you have Rodgers, etc., Ben Roethlisberger, you feel like you have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. And now if you're a Colts player today, this has just got to be deflating. And what a challenge for the head coach of the team, right? If you're Frank Reich, you got to figure out a way to get this thing on track after losing Andrew Luck. And I get it that Frank Reich is going to go with the whole next man up mentality and all this, but we're what, 15 days away from the regular season, and you find out that your quarterback's not going to be there. And the thing that really sucks for the Colts is Andrew Luck, and I'm not criticizing Andrew Luck for this decision, but what I'm saying is this: he obviously thought that he was going to be able to make it back from this ankle, calf injury, whatever technically the injury is, and he was going to be playing this season. But it just got so bad in terms of the rehab process over the past couple of months that Andrew Luck was not able to come back. So what happened was they couldn't go out there in the offseason and maybe look at a different quarterback, or maybe draft a quarterback, put some feelers out there. Now, odds are they probably would have just stuck with Jacoby Brissett for this year, and then in the draft next year, maybe they draft one. If they're not happy with the way that Jacoby Brissett plays, maybe they go after wherever the pick may be. And they're not going to be bad enough to have like the number one pick. So Tua seems like the guy, the kid from Alabama. Tua Tagovailoa, you got Jake Fromm at Georgia, Justin Herbert, those guys. So maybe what they would have done is they would have waited till next year anyway. But it just kind of sucks that you find out at this particular point in time that the quarterback is out and he's not returning at any point this season. So if I was a member of that team, I understand what my teammate's trying to do, but I would be pissed. I've been working the whole offseason to try to get to a Super Bowl, busting my ass, lifting, going to OTAs, doing all this stuff to get ready because I think I got a chance to win. And you're going to go out there, you're still going to have pride, you're going to try to win games, but you know, in all likelihood, you don't have a chance to win a Super Bowl, and you thought coming into the season, you did. I would be crushed if I was a teammate of Andrew Luck. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Paul. He is in Westfield this afternoon. What's up, Paul?
Wow, Professor Bear, really a great summary of where you described the conditions that led to his demise. The injury on snowboarding, playing all season with a hurt shoulder, saying things like, I don't feel good till I get hit. Trust me, that's all ego talk. And you know what the beauty of this is? You're exactly right. And look at RG3. Look at Cam Newton. Look what getting hit has done to them. You know who should be listening to you? Patrick Mahomes. And that star, Deshaun Watson, who hurt himself his shoulder twice just practicing. So you have the element of intermittent and oddball injuries. You don't exaggerate it by bragging how you're a running quarterback. It's really a shame when you think about what you're discussing. You know, I'm religion and politics. Fortunately, I can fight like a dog. So all my attacks, I win and I recover. But these guys have to do this day in and day out. And you're exactly right. Hey, Brad, what kind of protection did he have? Did he get the snot knocked out and get sacked a lot on top of running?
Yeah, early in his career. And Paul, I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. Early in his career, Ryan Grigson thought like it wasn't important to draft offensive linemen and develop offensive linemen. He was basically shopping for toys. That's what he did. He went out and got Philip Dorsett when he didn't need another receiver. He was just horrible in terms of drafting. I think about the fact that think about how bad this is. Think about the malpractice that this took. You traded away a first-round pick to get a running back that wasn't playing particularly well with another organization. You gave up a first-round pick for a bust of a running back in Trent Richardson. Like, that is amazing how bad Ryan Grigson was at his job. Just unbelievably bad. So even if Trent Richardson was going to try to get his career back on track, he had nobody to run behind. Their offensive line was just garbage. It was paper. You get right through it. It's like Swiss cheese. From a defensive perspective, they drafted poorly for Ryan Grigson's entire career there. Remember they drafted the kid Bourne Warner in the first round out of Florida State? I mean, they were just horrible in terms of the draft picks. But to Paul's original point, yeah, the offensive line was terrible. There's no debating that. The offensive line in Indianapolis for years was horrible with Andrew Luck. But I would say this. Russell Wilson has had a horrible offensive line. He doesn't get hurt because Russell Wilson's intelligent in terms of not taking on those hits. How many times have you actually seen Russell Wilson take a hit? He never gets hit. And he also does that awesome thing like when he gets close to the sideline, he sticks the ball out further so he gets another 2 to 3 yards. Andrew Luck takes the hit. Carson Wentz takes the hit. Ben Roethlisberger takes the hit. That's why these guys get hurt. So, yes, part of it is on the organization, like I said. The organization for not protecting the player in terms of the offensive line. They mishandled his first shoulder injury. But another part of this, why Andrew Luck's career was cut short, and I get it's his choice, but part of the reason that Andrew Luck's career was cut short is because he played too damn recklessly. All right, if you want to hop on board, weigh in on the Andrew Luck situation, certainly welcome to do so. The number is 617-779-7937. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello. This certainly isn't how I envision this or plan this, but I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. But it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing and relenting, unrelenting, both in season, both in and off season. And I felt stuck in it, and the only way I see out is to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away,
Man, that was Andrew Luck last night announcing his retirement after the game. It leaked out there on Twitter. Adam Schefter, of course, had the report that Andrew Luck had that press conference after. Man, it's crazy. It's the first game of the college football season, and the game became secondary because of the Andrew Luck news. It was right up there on the bottom line, and it's just crazy how that all transpired last night. You knew something was going on with Andrew Luck when they said, hey, Jacoby Brissett is not going to play in the third preseason game because we got to make sure, essentially, that he's ready for the season. We had no indication on when Andrew Luck was going to return to the football field. We just didn't know. And obviously this whole issue with the calf and the ankle was much more serious than everybody thought in the offseason because they thought it was like no big deal. And we heard the same thing with him with the shoulder a couple of years ago. Oh, no big deal. Nothing to see here. Then he misses the entirety of the season. And it seemed like they were on a trajectory with this injury where it was going to be more time than they originally thought. And Andrew Luck just said, enough's enough. I'm not doing it anymore. But I have to look at this, too, from a Patriots perspective, right? So if you think about it, first of all, look at the AFC right now. Who scares you? And this is another team you take out of the equation. So really, how many legitimate threats are there to the Patriots now that the Colts are out of this thing? And maybe you didn't even think originally that the Colts were a threat to the Patriots. So what does this mean for the Patriots? 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 90 minutes or so. And from my perspective, and I understand I'm sympathetic to the fact that Andrew Luck needed to retire from football because he wanted to, didn't want to rehab and all that stuff, didn't want to deal with the injuries anymore. He just felt like he was going to have a better quality of life. So I'm sympathetic to all that fact. But from a Patriots perspective, this is a win today for the Patriots because it's one team that you can take off the list of teams you're concerned about in the AFC. So now how deep is that list? Where does that list end for you? You look at it, okay, maybe the Chargers, and you think about it from the Chargers angle and all this. They don't threaten me as somebody that is pulling for the Patriots. And here's why. Their defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, is an idiot. He's dumb. He's not good at his job. I mean, look at what they did last year. They showed Tom Brady the same look the whole game. Okay, he came over from Pete Carroll's coaching tree. And Pete Carroll, essentially, remember, then he went to the Jaguars, was a head coach there, and he flamed out. Now he's the defensive coordinator there with the Chargers. But remember what they do. They play a very simplistic game plan. Pete Carroll, it's not a lot of blitzing, not a lot of different type of stuff. There's no exotic looks, right? So Brady knows exactly what the defense is going to be. Now, in Seattle, it was tough for Brady to win that Super Bowl game, obviously, and have the comeback in the fourth quarter because the personnel was so damn good. The Earl Thomases of the world, the Richard Shermans of the world, Bobby Wagner and Michael Bennett, etc. But the problem for Gus Bradley is he's got some good players, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, etc. But the problem is they didn't have the same personnel that the Seahawks had in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So when you look at the Chargers, they weren't going to be a team that's going to be able to give Tom Brady one look and be able to be successful against the Patriots. What do you think's going to happen when you show Tom Brady the same look time after time after time? He's going to do exactly what he did to the Chargers. He's going to dice you up, and it's going to be a very, very easy win for the Patriots. So from the Chargers' perspective, they have the talent to compete with the Patriots. In fact, you can make an argument that they have one of the five best rosters in the NFL. The issue is this. Their coaching staff, from a defensive perspective, Gus Bradley is horrible, so they don't threaten me from the Patriots' angle. The Kansas City Chiefs would be the one team now that I would say, okay, that's legitimately a team that I would be worried about if the Patriots play them in the postseason, because we saw what happened last year. Yeah, Bill Belichick, Brian Flores had this great game plan rather in the first half where they essentially shut out Patrick Mahomes in the first half, but then in the second half, he woke up, he put up, what, 31 points on the board, and he was tremendous. He threw 50 touchdown passes last season. He still has Tyreek Hill, who's back on the field, no suspension for him. You have Travis Kelce, right? Sammy Watkins, I understand he's been an underachiever for where he was taken in the draft, but he's a pretty damn good third option, right? And they can't be worse defensively. They cannot be worse than they were a season ago. They bring in Steve Spagnuolo. So that'd be the one team that I look at right now that threatens me in the AFC. There's one team to me that I would be threatened by if I was the Patriots. Sorry, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson at quarterback. The Steelers lost Antonio Brown. I don't trust the Steelers whatsoever. And not to mention the fact that we all know the history of that rivalry. Tom Brady completely owns the Steelers. And the Houston Texans, I'm sorry, I understand Deshaun Watson, like his come out game, if you will, was against the Patriots. Remember that game where they went back and forth? The Patriots end up winning, but Watson was great. But then look at last year. He wasn't good in that game against the Patriots, not to mention the fact that Bill O'Brien has no idea what he's doing there. He doesn't. I mean, Bill Belichick owns him. Whenever he plays him, Bill Belichick beats him. And Bill O'Brien has now, like, taken over the personnel decisions. And think about how dysfunctional the Texans are. They have this gaping hole at left tackle. They're set up in the draft to take the Dillard kid out of Washington State, right? That's the guy they identify they're taking. They're so damn dumb, the Eagles leap in front of them to pick him one pick before him. So that's how the Texans run their organization. I'm not threatened by them whatsoever. So there's one team in the AFC that threatens me. That's it. The Chiefs are the only team. You look at the NFC, it's stacked, right? There's a bunch of good teams in the NFC, but the AFC is weak. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Anthony in Worcester. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys, I like your take on the Texans. That was spot on. But just get back to Andrew Luck real quick. I'll be very brief. It's sad for football, but at the same time, too, I got to respect his decision. If he's really injured like that, I mean, I know it's an early age to get out of it, but you got to respect his decision. If he's hurt, you know, he's hurt. And, yeah, it's good for the Patriots. But, you know, for the Colts, oh, well, I don't feel so bad after Deflategate. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, it's interesting, too. When you really think about it, the guy had already made $97 million in his NFL career, and apparently Adam Schefter reported that the Colts are going to give him the rest of the money. Remember, that was a huge thing a couple of years ago with Calvin Johnson when he retired and the Lions weren't going to give him the money or whatever it was. Andrew Luck, the Colts, like, yeah, we'll give him the money. Probably for the malpractice that they had as the general manager years ago with basically not putting any offensive linemen in front of Andrew Luck. Maybe that's the payoff. Hey, yeah, we understand we kind of screwed you over in your first couple of years in the NFL. We had Ryan Gregson running the team. We sucked. So, yeah, I'm going to give you some money for that. Somebody points out on the text line, what about the Browns? I'm not threatened by the Browns. That team is going to combust. That team is, look, they got a rookie head coach in Freddie Kitchens. Okay, and I understand he did a great job calling plays last year, but he's dealing with Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's doing interviews in GQ. When has that worked out good for a player in recent history? Remember the last guy that did that? Okay, the last guy that did that was Jalen Ramsey, where he said basically every quarterback in the league sucks. How'd that work out for the Jaguars? Baker Mayfield, he's too much about himself. And I wonder what's going to happen when Baker Mayfield is in a situation where Odell Beckham Jr. is on the sidelines at him. He's yelling at him that he wants the ball. Jarvis Landry's on the sideline. He's yelling at him that he wants the ball. It just feels like that situation not going to work out. And in terms of long-term success, I don't know how you do it in the league that way. I really don't. Like, I think you can have a window when you're like a really brash team like that. Like we saw with the Seattle Seahawks. You can be brash for a while and it can work. But you can't have that to be a long-term thing in terms of success. I just don't, like, Rex Ryan is kind of similar to what the Jets are doing or what the Browns are doing now. Remember Rex Ryan basically said, oh, put it on me, and he was saying that they were going to win the Super Bowl, like, every single year. It got old. But that team was so boisterous. They were so loud. They just flamed out real quickly. That would be my fear with the Browns. Not to mention the fact, Baker Mayfield, what an idiot he was earlier this week, calling out Daniel Jones for not being a winner at the collegiate level. It's Baker Mayfield was 1-5 against winning teams last year. Not to mention, like, Pat Mahomes, you realize he was 17-19 at Texas Tech. I think he's doing okay that he didn't win at the collegiate level. I don't think that's a big issue. I'm not defending Daniel Jones. I just, would a intelligent quarterback, would a smart quarterback go out there in a magazine and just criticize other draft picks? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Let's get to Eric. He's in Andover. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I really feel like Andrew Luck really took a, I don't want to use the term, I took a dump on the franchise, took a really hit the fans. He quit. You know, he took this big contract, a record, I think it was a record contract a few years back when he redid his contract.
Yeah, it was at the time, and then like three guys broke
it. I think he's a good guy, and of course he's an awesome player. But, you know, you would think that at this point in the season, he would just say, you know what, I'm going to try to rehab, I'm going to try to come back, and just play it out this year, and at the end of the season, leave on a good terms, where the organization can, you know, position themselves to get a replacement or make a better choice, but he just up and quits.
You know, Eric, I believe your thought process is going to be what some of his teammates feel like. Like, I'm sure there's some sympathy, like, damn, he's still dealing with these injuries that's in his head, but I bet there's teammates on the Colts right now that are pissed at Andrew Luck. They're like, man, we were going to go to a Super Bowl. We thought we had a chance to go to a Super Bowl, and now that's just out of the question.
Yeah, and I think a lot of other players are going through rehabbing and injuries. And, you know, I really feel like he quit on the team. And you know, in these days where you have, like, Antonio Brown and all these other Bell people walking away from their contracts, Prescott and, you know, Ezekiel, it's just really, I think the NFL has a problem with how they do contracts. And on the other side of the coin, you know, someone like Peyton Manning gets dumped out of the blue as well. So I definitely think there's a problem with commitment and contracts in the NFL and things like this happen.
Yeah, I don't know if it has. I appreciate the phone call, Eric. I don't know if it has anything to do with the contracts, but I look at it from Andrew Luck's perspective. He has $97 million already from the NFL, and he's going to get the rest of his money from the Colts. So he has security. So, I mean, he's more likely to retire or in somebody that is trying to make an NFL team that's dealing with an injury and rehab. And so I understand what you're saying from that perspective. But the NFL, in terms of the contracts, I would say the issue that the NFL has with contracts is the fifth-year option is dumb. It makes no sense whatsoever. I don't know why the players ever agreed to that. It gives the team more power. And the fact that you don't have guaranteed contracts, if you're the players, that's something that should irritate you, right? That's something where the players don't really have any wiggle room or any say over the organization, right? Like in the NBA, what the guys do now is you can go to different teams, right? There's so much damn money in the NBA, and those contracts are pretty much all guaranteed. You can go wherever you want. You can dictate where you're going to go. With the NFL, it's different because you have the franchise tag as well. So when I look at contracts in the NFL, I think that a lot of times the player is the one that's getting screwed in all this. Let's get to Johnny's in New Hampshire. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that the Red Sox second baseman had the same thing to say as Andrew Luck did, except that I'm retiring.
What's that, John? Except Pedroia didn't say he's retiring, is your point?
Except Pedroia said I'm retiring, but he basically said I'm done rehabbing,
yeah.
I'm done with the surgeries, I'm done with all that.
Yeah, all right, yeah, appreciate the phone call. He did say that, essentially. I mean, Pedroia said that he's going to take some time to make his decision and whatnot. I mean, I guess there's a connection between the two guys. I mean, I don't know where he's really going there. But with Andrew Luck, the thing is he's a much bigger star than Dustin Pedroia. That's why this is a massive story. Obviously, locally, that Pedroia thing was huge. But it really didn't even matter to the Red Sox. Like, Dustin Pedroia hasn't been on the field for really 2 years. I get he was on the field briefly, but for like a whole season, it's been like 2 years since he's actually been a key contributor to this team. All right, if you want to hop on board, weigh in on this Andrew Luck situation, certainly welcome to do so. The number is 617-779-7937. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live. Taking the joy out of this game. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation, and the only way forward for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in. Come to the proverbial fork in the road, and I made a vow to myself that if I ever did again, I would choose me in a sense.
All right, that was Andrew Luck last night talking about his retirement. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so, taking you up until Red Sox pregame. I'm still interested, what is going on with the calf ankle issue? Because you heard what he said there. He made a vow to himself that he was not going to do what happened in 2016, where he thought he could play, then he didn't play, and then he missed the whole 2017 season, right? He didn't want to do that again. So I understand what he's saying, but I want to know now, like, what's the secret? At this point, you're not playing. You've decided to retire from the NFL. I actually want to know what the hell's going on with this guy's calf and ankle. What type of injury is this? Because remember, this was going on back in the spring where he was missing time because of this injury, and the Colts were saying at the time, nothing to see here. Don't be worried about it. But I want to know what the hell's going on with this guy's ankle and calf. I mean, this must be a real significant injury. Like, what the hell did he do to his ankle and his calf? It's not like he can't walk around or anything along those lines, but clearly he was not ready to play football. He wasn't healthy enough to play football. So what did he do to his ankle and his calf? And this is just one of the many injuries. Think about it. He had torn cartilage in two ribs, partially torn abdomen. He had a lacerated kidney that left him peeing blood. He had at least one concussion, a torn labrum in his throwing shoulder, and now, of course, this thing with the calf and the ankle that, quite frankly, nobody knows what it is. I don't even know if the Colts know. I really have no idea if the Colts know what the diagnosis is on Andrew Luck. Let's get to Jilly. She's in Brookline. What's up, Jilly?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. Sorry, man.
It's Joey. It's okay. No worries. I think what people are losing sight of, Andrew Luck doesn't owe the Colts anything. I mean, I think, you know, it's his job, and his job treated him poorly for years. I mean, it was malpractice putting the offensive line around him that they put around him. So I don't think he owes them anything. And I think,
but what about his, Joey, what about his teammates? What if you were a teammate of Andrew Luck?
I think you understand, but you've left the job before, correct?
Sure.
Right? So, like, people, you know, you're going to leave at inconvenient times. And I think, you know, what he has to do is look out for himself, especially playing a violent sport like football. You have to look out for yourself. He's got lacerated kidneys or whatever he has year after year after year. And it can become mentally taxing to bring yourself back from that, only to put yourself in that position again. So I don't think he owes the organization anything. I think if I was a teammate of his, yes, I might be upset, but I think at the end of the day, I understand why he's making the decision.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Joey. I appreciate the phone call. I understand what he's saying. So from the Colts' perspective, you don't owe them anything because the Colts are the team that put you in harm's way at the beginning of your career where you had no help from the offensive line. Now, I would put some of that on Andrew Luck as well. Like I said, he took too many damn hits that he didn't need to hit. I never understood why a guy would say he needs to get hit to wake up. Like, you're a quarterback. I don't want that happening for my quarterback. I don't want you challenging linebackers. So part of that to me was on Andrew Luck as well. But look, the first shoulder injury he had, right? That injury is on the Colts because they tell him, okay, you can play through this. He's playing through a torn labrum, and then later on he needs to get it repaired. Who would have thought that with a torn labrum, you're going to have issues and you're going to have need surgery? Like, that was terrible from the organization's perspective and the lack of an offensive line for years. So I understand where he's saying, okay, he doesn't owe anything to the Colts. Okay, I can get on board with that. But with the teammates, like, I would be pissed if I was in that locker room and I found out last night that Andrew Luck's not going to be there. Now, I understand that he's dealing with an injury, and maybe the Colts inside that locker room knew, like, Andrew Luck's not going to be available anyway. So maybe they came to the realization that, look, this feels a lot like it did a couple of years ago where Luck's trying to recover from something, and quite frankly, his body wouldn't allow him to recover from it. So maybe that's the case. Maybe the locker room had already come to that conclusion. But I'm just telling you, if I was a member of that team, I would not be happy with Andrew Luck because he has taken away my opportunity to try to win a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Jacoby Brissett, nice backup quarterback. Nobody would dispute that. We've seen him here, right? He's a decent player. But the Colts are not winning a damn Super Bowl without Jacoby Brissett. And if I was a member of that team, if I was T.Y. Hilton, I'd be like, oh man, this sucks. Like, I would be pissed at Andrew Luck. Now, they know more about what Andrew Luck has gone through than we do, but I would be upset that I don't have a chance to win at a high level. That's just the reality of how I would look at this thing. And if that sounds like it's not sympathetic to Andrew Luck or anything along those lines, I'm sorry. That's just how I feel about the situation. I'm putting myself in the position that a player would be in today or yesterday when they find this out from Andrew Luck. The other thing that I would mention too is these quarterbacks that you think should be durable, right? These big quarterbacks. Andrew Luck is 6'5", 6'4", whatever the case may be, 6'4", 6'5"-ish. He weighs 240 pounds. Carson Wentz, same thing, right? Super jacked up guy. Cam Newton, we all know, 6'6", 250 pounds. All these guys that have this like perception like, oh, they're going to hold up in the NFL because there are these big, burly guys. They never hold up. They always get injured. All those guys that are big, they have the big frames, they all get injured. Even Ben Roethlisberger, right? Ben Roethlisberger has like a ticky-tack injury every single season because these guys think that they're Superman out there on the field. Cam Newton literally thinks he's Superman. They go out there and they take unnecessary hits time after time after time. That's why we don't see Drew Brees and Tom Brady get hurt because they're not going to take those unnecessary hits. And part of the thing is with Andrew Luck and with Carson Wentz, these guys are actually basically inviting the contact and causing the contact, right? They're trying to run into guys, which makes no sense whatsoever. So it's almost like that's a curse to them at certain times. Let's get to Jeff. He's in the Cape. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing? I just had a you brought up something a couple minutes ago, and that is how severely injured right now is Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if it's a possibility, and the Colts aren't going to tell you anything, he won't tell you anything, all the HIPAA laws and everything, but he could be out for the season anyway. So, you know,
yeah, that's a possibility, Jeff. Yeah, Jeff, that's certainly a possibility. That's what I'm wondering. Like, I want to find out now what it is. So maybe the teammates already knew that. Like, maybe they had an idea like, oh, it's going to be tough for Luck to even come back. So maybe they've already come to the realization that, you know, it's just wasn't going to work out long term. But we still don't know what that thing is. It's weird.
We don't know. And the thing that he was talking about is basically for the last 3 years, he's been doing rehab. Goes out, gets his brains beaten in because his team couldn't protect him, and then goes out.
Yeah, Jeff. Jeff, you're right. Jeff, you're right to a certain degree, but one of those injuries was on him. Like, he hurt his shoulder again after he went snowboarding.
Yes, that's, you know, and okay, we all do something stupid once in a while, but I agree with you. Yes, that's on him. But all the other time, I think there's more to it than we are led to believe. And I think maybe his doctor told him, dude, you know, you play, you're never going to be able to walk normally again.
That certainly could be the case. That's a good point, Jeff, and I appreciate the phone call. That certainly is the case. Now, if that is the reality, if he had somebody tell him, and maybe that did happen, I don't know. No, none of us know because He had a press conference to say he was retiring last night, and we still really don't know too much about the injury. But if that's the conversation he had, then I'll take back what I said about the teammates, right? Like I said, if I was a teammate of Andrew Luck, I would be pissed because my chance at winning a Super Bowl has just gone out the door. But I'll take that back if we find out that in a couple of weeks or whatever the case may be, that there was a doctor that told Andrew Luck, hey, if he keeps playing on this thing, he's not going to be able to walk or something along those lines long term. Like he's going to have drop foot for the rest of his life. Okay, then I'll be on it. Then I'll change my take on that. But as of right now, we don't know anything about that. We really don't know. So I'm just putting myself in that locker room. And I know I don't really have the body to play in the NFL. I don't really have the build. But nonetheless, I'm putting myself in the position of somebody that would be a member of that team right now and think about what they're thinking. Just think about it. You think if you were a member of the Patriots, right, and all of a sudden you found out that, oh, Brady's just going to retire. I think about it. You would be like, man, what? Like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl here, Tom. Like, what's going on? If you're Edelman, it's easy. Like, remember that whole thing where he's like, that's my guy in one of those videos. Like, you'd be like, what the hell? Like, I'm sure if Tom Brady went through this whole offseason, whatever it was, and then all of a sudden after the third preseason game, he decided to retire, I'm sure there'd be a lot of question marks. I'm sure some of the fans, like, everybody's getting all over the fans for booing Andrew Luck. And I understand it's a bad look. But I guarantee you that would happen in every NFL stadium in the country if something like this happened. Because it doesn't signify every fan. It's just a couple of stupid fans booed Andrew Luck. It's not like the entire stadium do it. I guarantee you that would happen in other stadiums across the country as well. Yeah, it's a bad look for those fans in particular, but I guarantee you that would happen elsewhere as well. This isn't like the Toronto Raptors thing was totally different. Remember when the Raptors fans were booing Kevin Durant when he went down with an injury? That's totally different because you could see that guy just got severely injured. Andrew Luck's walking up and down the sidelines. So two totally different situations. People were making that comparison today. I didn't buy into it whatsoever. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to weigh in on the Andrew Luck thing, you can. The number is 617-779-7937. I want to get into one thing with the Patriots and also something that the Celtics should be very concerned about. That I'll do that as well. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.